There are shows with psychics.
And there are shows with doctors.
But there's no show like The Psychic and the Doc.
Your practical paranormal power unleashed.
This show synthesizes the talents of world-class medium Mark Anthony, the psychic lawyer, psychic explorer,
and street smart spiritualist, behavioral psychologist, Dr. Pat Vasili. All subjects are on the table and no topic is taboo. Inspiration, insight,
action, and fun as Mark Anthony connects callers with loved ones in spirit.
In tandem with Dr. Pat's fresh, no-nonsense, street-smart, intuitive insights. And she is hilarious.
Extraordinary problems
require extraordinary solutions, which may come from this side
or the other side. This is The Psychic
and the Doc. And it starts now. Welcome, everybody. I'm Mark Anthony, and I'm here with my amazing co-host, the world-renowned street-smart spiritual behavioral psychologist, the one and only Dr. Pat Vasili.
Yeah, so I can't wait to get into the dark alleys tonight, just like I grew up in, on the streets. A little dumpster diving tonight, because we're going to have some fun.
Absolutely we are. And you know, Dr. Pat, I found out that according to data provided by the Hubble Space Telescope, it is estimated that there are at least 100 billion galaxies in our universe. Now let's back up for a second. Earth orbits the sun, and there are a collection of stars in our solar system, and billions of solar systems make up a galaxy. So in the universe, if there's at least 100 billion galaxies, and actually scientists feel that the number is far greater. So the question is, can the human race be alone in the universe? And I want our listeners to wrap your heads around this. In 2013, NASA astronomers reported in our Milky Way, just in our galaxy, that there are as many as 11 billion Earth-like planets orbiting stars similar to our sun. So if we are not alone in the universe, what exactly is out there? Are they intelligent beings? If so, are they aware of our existence? Do these entities possess the ability to visit Earth? And if so, why do they come here? Assuming there are aliens, are they just studying us from afar, or do they have other intentions? Do these aliens abduct humans and study us? Or better yet, have humans captured any of these extraterrestrial visitors? You know, the other day, it was May the 4th, which is Star Wars Day, because it's a play on May the Force be with you. And I'm ready for tonight's show because I have my Darth Vader shirt on that says actually May the Surf be with you. Hey, look, I live in a surfing community. But May the 4th was not just Star Wars Day this year. It was also the release date of an amazing new book, which brings us to our guest, Alan Steinfeld. And his new book is Making Contact. Alan, I want to welcome you to The Psychic and the Doc.
Yeah, it's great to have you.
Great to be with both a psychic and a doctor in case you need one or the other. Thank you.
Yeah.
I also want to add, when your statistics, supposedly there are more stars in the universe than there are grains of sand on all the beaches in the world. Can you imagine that?
It really gets overwhelming. You know, as a psychic medium, I deal with interdimensional communication. I'm communicating with a different dimension. And I know that I'm just interfacing with eternity. And then when someone like you, who is so well-versed in the study of extraterrestrial life, puts it into perspective like that, infinity gets even bigger. You know, it's overwhelming.
Exactly. Infinity, we keep have to expand our limits of the known.
Yeah.
And that's really what we're all here to talk about, I think, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, think about it for a minute. You know, I worked at Bell Labs. I used to have bagels with Arno Penzias. You know, I didn't know who the guy was because I'm a kid from New York and I was pushing a mail cart. I didn't know this was going to be Mr. Big Bang guy. And, you know, in having that exposure to him and realizing that these two guys discovered what the world calls one of the most fascinating discoveries, because they had to clean pigeon poop out of a device. And, you know, when I think about that and I think about what that meant and what happened after that moment for them and went into almost a state of lucidity from my perspective, because they didn't just stop there, right? You know, there was a discovery that they didn't believe in and then they believed in it. And that is always fascinating to me. You know, it was fascinating.
You know, they may have discovered the Big Bang, but they can't prove how it actually happened. No. They don't. That's one of the hard questions of science. Why and how did it all unfold? And, you know, Terrence McKenna said, used to say, you know who Terrence McKenna was? A great. You say, OK, give science one miracle and we'll explain the rest. You know, the Big Bang. Let's just say we don't know. It's a miracle and everything else is logical. But it's not the case, right?
So Alan, I have to ask.
Oh, anything.
How did it all start with you? How did 10-year-old Alan or 7-year-old Alan get interested in extraterrestrials?
Do you have to ask, aren't you the psychic? No, you're the doctor.
But I'm also the host of a radio show.
Okay. And right. Okay. You know, I always felt different from my family. I always looked at the stars. I don't know why. No one else looked at the stars. You know, grew up in New York, Jewish family. The moon would be rising full on Passover as we went to my grandmother's house. I said, look at the moon. And everyone said, yeah, okay. And then they turn away. I said, but look at the moon. It's there. And why is it always full on Passover? And, you know, nobody knew or even cared about the stars. And I was just fascinated. So I didn't go out for the typical team sports, didn't like team sports, you know, hated basketball to play. I mean, I was just different. You know, I liked reading and I was on the track team. I did like archery, but, you know, so I pursued science fiction. That was my escape from the normal middle class suburban world, because it gave me an avenue of what was beyond the ordinary, you know, what was possible in a way, you know, parallel universes, teleportation, Tesseract, you know, the Wrinkle in Time talked about a tesseract, how to fold time and space. I didn't even understand it, but I somehow knew it was possible. And years later, when I talked to Hal Puthoff from, you know, what he was working on, energy propulsion, he said, that's what we do. You know, you can go from here to there instantly if you have enough energy to fold time, space, or warp gravity. So this was a kind of avenue to exploration. And then I always wanted to be an astronaut and I love Star Trek. I really thought I would get aboard the Star Trek and the Starship Enterprise to exactly. I wanted to explore new life and new civilizations. I wanted to go where nobody has gone before. And I sort of ended up doing that. I sought out, I studied literature in college. I first started in psychology. That was so boring, learning statistics. And I read one really good book on literature. I said, these guys know more about humans than all the psychology studies I've been looking at. So I started to understand consciousness, stream of consciousness. And that's really at the bottom of all this. What is consciousness? What is this thinking mechanism that allows us to wonder? That's another hard question. There's no way of explaining how these neurons that are sort of electrical pulses create the thinking being. I mean, that is a mystery and it will remain a mystery because we have to realize we are part of the mystery. So I went into mystical studies because I wanted to get more inch from consciousness literature to mysticism to having my own experiences. So that sort of was my path to the UFOs.
Wow, that's amazing. And so you like science fiction, then you have to recognize.
Danger, Will Robinson. Right. No, I ran.
Hey, I mean, I've had this thing for years, and if I didn't, and speaking of aliens. My sensors indicate an intruder is present. Okay, all right, I'm done with the prop.
It was really an awful show, but I also watched that, you know. Yeah, it's really,
you know, it really was. And my brother and I, the one question we could never answer is why didn't they just shove Dr. Smith out an airlock? But I'll leave it at that.
It was like the Gilligan's Island of outer space, you know.
It really was.
But Star Trek had some really good concepts, you know, in its teleportation, those devices that would scan the body. I mean, I think that's all coming true now.
Well, I mean, look at the technology of Star Trek. Our cell phone, that's a tricorder. And what was great about Trek is that it was based on at least real scientific concepts. But speaking of which, I'm going to just come right out and say it. Do you believe Earth is being visited by extraterrestrial life forms?
You know, I'll come out and say it and say absolutely. Yes, I mean, what the Navy, did you look at the papers the last couple of weeks? The Navy admitted UFOs are real. Yeah. That's as close as we have come to real live disclosure. Mm-hmm. And now with the COVID relief bill, you know about that, the last five pages, it said that Congress has to put out 188 days reports from intelligence about studying this phenomena.
Yep.
So the government, of course, has known this for a long, long time, probably since Roswell 1947 or before, and they've been keeping this a secret. Why? Well, that's another story. That's another show, maybe. I don't know why. I mean, I can guess. They're not ready. They don't think we're ready. There's corporate interest. There's religious problem. I don't know why, but the government is now folding in that sense. There's a crack in the glass ceiling and they are coming out with the truth or part of the truth.
Yeah.
And this is a really exciting time to be here on the planet when the whole world meets the cosmic others.
You know, I want to ask you a question, Alan. Mm-hmm. In your book, I'm fascinated by lucidity and the way you talk about it in the book, but also in your work in general and creativity. And I'll tell you, the thing that got me sent to Dr. Jacoby, the psychiatrist, at a very, very young age was when I made the claim in my family, because I spent a lot of time on the fire escapes. Now, why would you go to the fire escape? Because the roaches were so bad that I slept on the fire escape. So if you're on the fire escape, you're always looking up, right? You see that. So that was an interesting thing for me as a child. It imprinted on me. And one of the questions or statements that I would walk around saying was that every time a television show came on, every time something, the giant behemoth, you know, the Colossus of New York, any of those shows, those black and white things with the spacecraft, you know, kind of wobbling, I would stand up and say, they got the idea from the real people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and I never let go of it. Now, can you imagine going up in a family in the Bronx and you're telling your parents every dinner that there are creatures up there telling us what to put on TV?
You're Dr. probably Jacoby. An update. I bet you're an abductee. I bet you've had childhood experiences. We should regress you right here to find out what's going on.
I'm telling you, I must have had them, but I never let go of that. I don't care how many visits to Dr. Jacoby and how many pills. It actually got better for me, but worse for them.
Right.
Because I never let go of that idea. And as I grew up and I watched more and more movies, I thought to myself, Jim Cameron did not create Avatar. There's no way on the face of the earth that he didn't get a download to create that movie.
Absolutely. You know, yes.
Those are my thoughts. I think we're getting messages all the time.
Well, you know, I'm so happy you mentioned the term lucidity because most of the people I talk to have no idea what that word means, you know? And since you know what it means, I mean, it's the awareness of awareness, basically, the lucid sense of being. That is what I say in my chapter in the book.
Yep.
That we need to practice in order to meet these beings on an even playing field, because their consciousness, and you're both familiar mediums and psychics with altered states of consciousness. You actually have to go into an altered state to be a medium or a psychic. Well, imagine a distortion of that field. These entities, beings, creatures, whatever they are that are non-human, we can just call them non-human, in my experience, have a different, let's say, psychic gravity field around them. They think differently. They distort our field. They are from a different vibratory rate. And my theory, and this is just my theory, I haven't heard anyone else say it, because they're from a different star, they're from a different sun, and each sun sets the vibratory rate of the thinking beings of those star systems. They emanate a particular frequency, like a different range on the radio. So we're set to a particular frequency because our sun, which is sort of equates consciousness, light, enlightenment, has a particular energy to it. And other beings from another system, they distort our field. So we need to practice lucidity and go beyond the ordinary consciousness if we're going to really start making contact.
Yeah. Go ahead, Mark.
I'm sorry, Dr. Pat, go ahead, because you guys were in consciousness, because I just wanted to ask, Alan, have you yourself seen a UFO, or have you yourself had any direct encounters with it? Extraterrestrials.
I saw a UFO in New York, Lower East Side.
I can't wait to find out what year that was.
It was right after the Simon and Garfunkel concert in Central Park. When was that? Was that 85 or 86, 1986 or something?
It was around that. Yeah.
And then I saw this ship as I was going home, mm-hmm. and it looked like it emitted a blue light out of it. And I said to myself, did that just emit a blue light? And it did it again. So I saw one there. I saw one in New Mexico, the home of the UFO, when it was at the Lamy train station, which is the train station for Santa Fe. There was a cloud that looked like a finger, looked like kind of, you know, those kind of odd shaped clouds. And it was with a bunch of people and everyone said, look at that cloud. And I said, okay, it's just a cloud. And then they said, look, and I didn't look, but they said, look, there's something there. I turned around and it was this beam of light that was there. And then it waited for me to turn or something. And then it beamed out. So I saw those are experiences. Those are just viewing experiences, but in dream states, and this is where lucidity has come in. I did have visitations in, I have to say, I'm not that lucid. If I was more lucid, it wouldn't be in a dream state. Seriously, we have to practice lucidity.
Yep, we do.
I really think this is how we're going to start making contact. And I was not lucid enough. So me, it was just a kind of vague, this is a weird dream, but they gave me this little, I think, hybrid being to hold. And I said, this is weird. And then I went back to sleep. So that's some of my out there experiences.
Yeah.
But, you know, they weren't dreams, because every night we have dreams and we forget them in the morning.
Yeah.
These dreams, you absolutely never forget. And if you ask anyone who they've dreamed of UFOs or ETs, they never forget them. So my theory is they're not dreams. You know, John Lennon in 1974, August 1974, he was on the East Side, Upper East Side. He saw a UFO over the East River there with May Pang. And he wrote this song afterwards, Dream Number 9, about that lucid awareness of these beings dancing in time and space. So anyway, that's some of it.
Alan, yeah. I want to make sure people know, for those of you out there, and I know, Jacob, you're putting the book up, right?
Oh, good. Thank you.
And I want everybody to know that what, well, okay, it doesn't work with the background. I can't see either.
I know, but
Jacob's putting it up. I want to make sure everybody knows we're talking about your book, Making Contact. But before we hop over and go to a break, I want to know how we can find out about you also and how we get a copy of the book here.
Great.
This really is a must read. I mean, there are a few things in here I just started to read and I thought, yeah, he's talking about spiritual culture right there.
It is a spiritual culture. I wrote this as a kind of a spiritual introduction. I didn't write the whole thing. I collect. I'm a curator. I asked 11 of my favorite UFO writers to come and write a chapter. I just gave them the title. I said, okay, I'm calling the book Making Contact. You run with it. And I got 11 different essays from the top in the field. If you know the field, Linda Moulton Howe. She is at the very top. Someone you should definitely bring on this program. Whitley Strieber, the person who gave the world the face of the ET on the front of communion. He said, this is what they look like. And now everyone's saying this little gray with the big eyes, no mouth, little nose. This is what they look like. So he is a landmark in the history of this phenomena. And John Mack, you know, John Mack, he was a psychiatrist at Harvard.
Yeah.
He died of like maybe 20 years ago, but there was an unpublished essay that was in his archives. And he asked his archivist if I could publish it in this book. So this is the first time that essay, which is still much very contemporary. I mean, it reads as if it was written today. And so he's a big star. I have Daryl Anka, who's the channel for the being Bashar. He's had a 30-year relationship with this extraterrestrial. So, and he wrote a chapter as himself. And then Nick Poe, Grant Cameron, JJ and Desiree Hertog, Carolyn Corey, Mary Rodwell, she calls herself the alien lady. So these are the, I call them the Michael Jordans of our league. They are out in front, influencing thought, and I wanted them all in one collection so it would create a narrative. So you go from the external, you know, the nuts and bolts, what the government's not telling us, to the internal. What does this mean in terms of consciousness? So get it on Amazon. Look up Making Contact on Amazon. Yes.
Yeah. And one of the things we got somebody who wants to talk to you. We're going to bring her on right now.
Sure.
And, you know, I love that you brought different perspectives in because everybody has a different voice. You know, not every voice is the same. This is not a one size fits all.
Well, that's exactly right. I thought no one has the whole truth. No one has figured this monkey out, whatever it is. And we need to all these perspectives so the reader can put together their own understanding. I thought that was the best way to handle this.
Yeah, absolutely. The chapter by the psychologist, Mac. One really, because I've actually done readings on abductees and I've talked to several abductees and the similarities of what happened to them, you know, it's uncanny. I talked to Nancy Tremaine, who was abducted in the early 60s as a little girl. Mm-hmm. In fact, I was on the phone earlier today with Calvin Parker, and he was abducted like, I think, 15 or 16 years after that. And their accounts are so similar.
Right.
And after we go to the caller, and we may be taking a break at the bottom of the hour, I want to ask you about the different species that are coming here, because Absolutely. Everyone I've spoken to that is in the know about extraterrestrials, it's not just one type of alien. We're being visited by multiple different species.
I think so.
Citizens of other, you know, multiple planets. So, if we can, let's go to the caller.
Yeah, we have Marcy here. Jacob, let's bring Marcy on.
Oh, hey, Marcy, how's it going?
Hey, great.
Welcome to the show, Marcy, you're live.
Ah, thank you, Pat. Alan, Marcy Newman here. How are you?
Oh, Marcy.
I am so thrilled for you.
Thank you, Marcy. Well, did you have
an... Oh, my God, I know.
You've had experiences, I know, right?
Oh, I have had so many experiences. I've seen fleets of ships coming over the mountains when I lived in Arizona. I saw them in New York. Oh, my God. It was such an incredible experience. But, Alan, I know that this is such a long time coming for you. I'm so excited for you. And congratulations. I cannot wait to dive into this book. And what perfect timing.
You're right. It's with the government release, and the subtitle is Preparing for the New Realities of Extraterrestrial Existence. Everyone needs to know this is a reality. Yeah, Marcy, you're going to love this book because it, for beginners who know nothing about it, it's a real eye-opener. And for those like some of us, it gives us more information. And for me, too, when these writers came through with these essays, I said, wow, this is new. So
I'm so excited, really. And Dr. Pat and Mark, yeah, I mean, you know, for you to have Alan on the show and to be, really speaking about this openly is so important for each and every one of us. Like, Dr. Pat, you have had incredible experiences. I have too. Mark, you too. We know this is real, and we know that it's part of our reality.
Yeah.
And we have got to start to embrace it.
You know, one other thing we can't take away from this, and Marcy, you've known me a long time now. I look at our pop culture. People say, really, Pat, you're like supposed to be the queen of consciousness and media and you want pop. Yes, I watch the pop culture. Here's why. When a show like Men in Black comes out, and they point to like this alien hopping around character, and they said, oh, yeah, that's Oprah. And then they point to another one and they say, yeah, that's Mick Jagger. Do you think anybody says, no, it's not? They don't. They don't say, no, it's not. They don't argue with that. Mm. They don't really butt up against it. They just don't.
That's so important that we start to expand the culture so people start initiated into these other levels, into what's possible. People are so confined to this little box, but it's really inside of us. I say making contact is an inside job. It really is. It's up to us.
Yeah.
Right?
Marcy, do you have a question? Do you have a question, Marcy? I'm just curious. I know you got a question for Alan.
I do have a question. Alan, I was wondering if there was one particular experience that you had that like was the catalyst for bringing this forward now.
The one experience that really sucked me down the rabbit hole, as Grant Cameron said, was when I was driving cross country with a girlfriend and we pulled off the side of the road because we were tired and we felt as if we were frozen or suspended animation or time had stopped through the night, and we woke up in the same position we went to sleep in, and who even remembers that, you know? And we felt really creeped out somehow, both of us, and we just needed to get out of there. And I had a mark on the back of my leg that seemed, it was a 4-pronged puncture mark, and I got back to New York, and I started to meet, by coincidence, other abductees. I finally met Bud Hopkins, the grandfather of the UFO abductions, and he turned John Mack and Whitley Strieber onto so many. And him and his group said, yeah, that's an abduction mark. And that just freaked me out, but it also pulled me down into this world that I'm still a part of. So I know it's true. Yeah. It inspired me. And there's no looking back once you're sucked down that hole. So that was the main initiation. And I've had other experiences where I think I've donated sperm for an alien race. That's a little more personal, but yes, why not? You know?
Well, you know, let me just roll with you, Marcy, and Mark, you had a question. Marcy, hang on with us for a minute, because we're having a party now. Sure. Partay.
Yes, we are.
Fire escape girl here. We're having a little party. Mark, look, from your perspective, you hear us talking about lucidity, and you are somebody that just lives in that world a lot.
Yes.
You have helped many people that have come to you and have said, this is happening to me. You have such an in-depth insight that perhaps we don't have, where you're helping people and at the very depths, right, on the edge of consciousness and higher spiritual realm or lower spiritual realm. Give us your perspective on this book and give us your perspective on where the bridge is. Is there a bridge? Is there a bridge?
Well, first off, what I like about the book is that it is a compilation of different experts. It's edgy and it's groundbreaking because it comes right out and says, this is real. And Alan, you know, in your introduction, you don't spend a whole lot of time trying to convince anybody. Right. And the chapter on or the chapters on consciousness, you know, when I communicate with spirits and alternate dimensions, and I'm going into this different state and my frequency aligns with theirs. And so I get all this information. And, you know, people look at me like, you know, people who don't believe that you're crazy, you're making it up and all that. And my heart really goes out to the abductees, because when I've done readings on abductees, what's really fascinating, Alan and Dr. Pat, is the aliens don't come through. The spirits of the abductees' loved ones come through and begin to explain to them, first off, that the abduction was real. It was authentic. They're not making it up. They're not crazy. And why these particular people are being targeted. And if you give me just a moment, I've done readings on I think like five different abductees, and every single time it came up that they were targeted for a specific reason. And recently I was doing a reading for this woman and her son, and during the reading, something about a UFO came up. And they said, oh my God, they said, well, you know, my son and I, we were out on a lake and this object came out of the sky. It shined a light on us and then it left. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, your spirits are telling you that you were close, but not what they wanted. No. Long story short, in all the readings that I've done, the spirits are telling the abductee or telling them through me that they're being targeted for a protein in their body, how they metabolize protein. And I had this, and when I was talking to Calvin Parker, I asked him, you know, what happened after experience? He goes, well, I couldn't get enough meat in me. I couldn't get enough. And then I was talking to a gentleman who's in MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network, and he's one of the investigators that goes, and I told him that, and he goes, really? He said, you know, Mark, he said, that is really fascinating, because all of the abductees that we have interviewed have an insatiable craving for protein after the experience and sodium. And it goes on and on and on. Okay.
Me Alan, too. I still crave meat. A good steak is something that really nourishes me. Sorry to the vegetarians out there, but yeah.
But Alan, now that we've opened the protein door, in your book, it talks about the breeding program that these aliens are doing, that they have a reason why they're coming here. Tell us about that.
One of the reasons they're coming here, for one of it is to wake us up to the fact that it's all consciousness, that we need to get our act together. There's more to the human being than we've been told by our religions and media and politics and education. We are really infinite beings. And if you're a medium and interested in spirits, you know that. Yeah. But they're also coming here, especially the little grays, the little ones with the big eyes, because they've reached the end of their evolutionary cycle. They bred, this is my interpretation, passion and feeling and emotion out of them to be replaced with pure intellect. So they have these incredible intellects, but their genetic offspring, there are no genetic offsprings. There's no passion in them. They reached a dead end. They have not gotten to God, if that's what you want to call it. So they need our genetics, because in our genes, in our cells, is emotional content. So, you know, you talk about people who have had heart transplants or liver transplants. They take on the emotions of the donor. And so they are you know, what do they call, splicing our genetics with our emotion and passion for our eyes, our nose, our hair, and our capacity to feel and create. Creativity is a big part of what they're looking for, in with their incredible intellect, creating hybrids. And they are, I think, taking cows' blood, the blood of cows, as nourishment to incubate these hybrid beings in these huge sort of natural vats of blood and soft tissue from cows in order to grow these species, because they don't have wombs, these aliens. Sometimes human women find themselves pregnant for 3 months and then the fetus is taken out. And this has been a case, I think if you read John Mack's book, Abductions, it's said there in many places. So the hybrid program by the Greys is a big part of why they're coming here and harvesting our really important genes, our creative genes, our passionate genes, and mixing with theirs. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Marcy, you're still here too, right? Okay.
Yeah, and I'm dying to ask a question too. Go ahead.
That's what I was just going to jump in. I just want to tell everybody we're not going to take a break. So I just want to make sure everybody, Jacob, you're showing the book a lot, right, on social media.
Thank you, Jacob.
So Making Contact, Alan Seinfeld, of course, Making Contact. It is a fabulous book. It is the kind of book that I'm sitting here. I just moved into a new place. I got boxes everywhere. And I'm like, Linda, I got to read this out loud to you. It is that kind of book. The other thing I love about the book is there's so many different textures in this book. These stories have texture. A lot of time, you know, I've been doing this 17 years. Sometimes I get a book and it's like this, but it isn't. There's texture. There's words that jump out, right? Nothing happens until something moves. When something vibrates, the electrons, the entire universe resonate with this. Everything is connected.
Yes.
Marcy.
Yes. All right, Alan. So yes. When you and I first met so many years ago back
where
in New York.
Where was that? Where did we meet?
We first met, it was probably at the New Age Conference at the New Yorker.
The Meta Center? No. One of the New Life Expos. Yes.
Yes, one of the expos. Okay. So at that time, I was in private practice, and a very large part of my practice was working with abductees and removing implants. I would love to hear about your experience with implants, and also, do you think that those who have deactivated implants will be activated once we start to have a greater population visiting us?
Great question. So I don't know if my implants were physical or etheric, because there are some etheric implants. I don't think they're necessarily negative. I don't really know the purpose of these implants, except sometimes it's to download immediate information into our system.
Yeah.
So they're not necessarily tracking devices, because, you know, they know where once you have an experience with one of these beings or a UFO, you are entangled. There's an entanglement quality that quantum physics talks about. So we're already entangled with these beings. But yet, I think these implants, I don't even like the word implants. I would say they're tuning devices that help us connect to higher frequencies. Sometimes they show up physically. Roger Lehr was a doctor. He was a podiatrist that would remove metal implants from people. But I think on the etheric level, and since we are becoming more energy beings, these are tuning us to a frequency that is, let's say, not post-human, but an upgrade of human. And it's making us more creative, more explorers of the unknown. And so that's what I feel, you know, I think implants for me doesn't really do it, but I know what you mean. And
I'm sorry, Alan, I mean, I'll ask a question. And Marcy, I'm directing this one at you first, and then we're going to go over to Alan. You said that you worked removing implants. What did they look like? How big are they? How did you locate them?
Good question.
Yeah. So, and great question. And Alan, these were energetic implants. So when I would be working with someone and taking them through different levels of hypnosis, they would identify the implant. So what often would happen is they would suddenly recognize that they had abilities that they hadn't had before, or they had aspects of personality that were suddenly present that they hadn't really had before. And so they would come to me, and in, you know, doing a body scan, for instance, energetically, it would be apparent. Now, I would never be the one who identified it. I would always allow them to identify, and they would be able to tell me why it was there, what its purpose was. And they also had a choice as to whether or not to remove it, to deactivate it, or to keep it. And I'm going to tell you, there were quite a few instances where people chose to keep them because they so much enjoyed the more expansive ability that they had.
What do they look like? And how big are they?
They varied. Yeah, they absolutely varied, Mark, and they also varied in position. Some would be like in the brain. Some would be behind your ear. Some could be in your arm. I mean, they were all over the place.
I also want to say these are like training wheels for some people, and they sort of start to dissolve into the being as the frequency of the body raises and you get more connection to these other beings. It's like they dissolve into the system, and there's a fusion of the higher mind. That's sort of what I get about some of these. Yeah.
Right. But, you know, it seems like what you're saying is that these are way beyond a tracking device.
Of course.
And Alan, what you're saying, they're melding, is it possible they're combining with the genetic material?
And upgrading the genetic material. That's what I feel.
Yes.
Thank you, Marcy. I'm glad someone thinks like I do.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Look, I want to touch upon what you guys are saying, and I want to tap right into a conversation on creativity. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things I'm really looking at, started to work with a lot based on exactly what we're talking about today, is creativity. I have a friend who researches the creativity paradox. I'm writing about the creativity paradigm because I really, I've talked with her and I said, wait a minute, it's really both. Creativity paradox paradigm. And what that means is, which comes first, the idea or the planting of the idea?
Right. You know, well, they're the same thing, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And yet, when you think about it, how did Ridley Scott create the blockbuster movie Alien? Mm-hmm. Why is it Dee Wallace, who played E.T.'s mom, mm-hmm. now is world renowned for conscious creation?
Right.
How is it I'm sitting here with the Spiritual Consciousness Network, a girl from the Bronx? So I want to talk, I would love for all of you to talk about this, because at some point, I think the general population has got it backwards at some level.
Well, I just want to say that I think the reason the ETs are here is to upgrade our exploration of the creative potential that humans have. They are encouraging this. And I think as they make themselves known, we are going to go through a renaissance, a burst of creativity that will be beyond anything we have seen in technology, in the arts, in writing, in speaking, because our view of reality will have expanded so much more. We will not be contained in this little box, but we'll realize we are part of the cosmos. And when that happens, more of our brain opens up, more of our consciousness expands into things that were yet to be imagined in the old world.
Yeah, my team hates it. If I work out one day after I do a meditation and I walk out of the room and I dial our number and I call a team meeting and I say these words, I have a great idea, you can hear everybody on the team go, oh, you got to be kidding me again. But here we are. Look, there's such a taboo on these conversations.
Right.
There's such a stigma. We as a network are going through a venue of censorship I've never seen before. We don't even understand why they're censoring us. I'm a 60s kid. It pisses me off to no end. And so for me, you writing this book, mm-hmm. We've got to come out of the closet and let people be heard.
Well, you know, I am so happy we're having this conversation because this book is no longer fringe. And in former times, they used to put the UFO books in the back of the bookstore and you'd have to ask for it and you always felt a little embarrassed. Where's your UFOs books? And like right now, I think this and what's happening in Congress and this conversation to a radio audience, this makes it okay. It helps other people come out of the closet and say, oh, you know, I had a weird experience, or I saw a ghost, or I saw a UFO, or I had a strange dream. This needs to be a public conversation. And I thank you both so much. And Marcy, too.
Well, speaking of Congress, can we give the aliens a list of people to abduct?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think you're absolutely right. But you know, we need to make this okay to talk about and not just seen in some movie.
Well, let me explain this to you. We are expanding to 10 channels. Our technology is already finished. We're in testing. We're testing our player. One of the channels is called Cosmos Talk Radio. That is a channel dedicated for hundreds of hosts to do shows on this.
Well, I have hundreds of hours of talks and interviews about this subject with Whitley Strieber and Linda Moulton Howe and Grant Cameron. And I just did a show the other day with ET ambassadors. These people embody the ET consciousness. So my book, in a way, is a little conservative because they don't go far. I want to take the public with us into the unknown. And the other thing about creativity, I think the reason we incarnated into these bodies at this time, and let's say we have the ET's land and we have all the free energy and all the abundance and all the food and everything we wanted, then what? We are here to be creative. What I say, to make known the unknown. That is the creative potential. That is the reason for incarnating. This is like meeting the aliens and having free energy. This gets us to a level playing field. It gets us to the reason why we came in the first place, to be the creative, unlimited potential that each of us possess.
All right. My science fiction friends will never forgive me if I don't. Let's flip on the flip side of the cosmic coin. We're talking about the fun aliens. All right. There are more than one species visiting.
Yes.
Are they all altruistic, or do some of them perhaps have more malevolent?
Well, it's like people, you know, everyone you meet, great people. There's some people who just want to get your money, or they want to sell you something, or they want something from you. And there's some people that are indifferent, and there's some truly genuine people that want to know about you and have a connection. And I think ETs are no different. But of course we're talking about races, and Marcy, I'm sure you have your ideas, but I think for the most part, there is like the law of one, service to others as opposed to service to self. And that is a more evolved race. The J.J. Hertog and his wife Desiree talk about the ultra celestials. These are the higher consciousness beings who have always looked out for us. So there's many levels of density, many levels of consciousness and beingness and ascended masters. And this is where it goes into all those other realms. But the universe is full of consciousness and life. So take your pick, Mark. Which ones do you want to meet?
Well, I want to meet the Vulcans. I'm not too big on the Borg or the Klingons. And when you guys were talking about the implants, you know, and once again, you know, art imitates life or life imitates art. We're talking about these implants. You know, on Star Trek, somebody came up with the idea of an advanced race of aliens that are able to inject cybernetic nanotechnology that bonds with your DNA and your cellular structure.
That's the Borg. Resistance.
Yeah, and the resistance is futile. but you know, it's really fascinating. My father was in the aerospace industry, and he said to me, we used to talk a lot, and he said that the greatest leap in electronics technology in the mid 20th century was the transistor. And he said that he said, Mark, something happened in New Mexico in the late 40s. There was a crash, and the U.S. government covered it up. They brought in a lot of electronics firms to examine it. Well, let's fast forward about 15 years. He's in California in a laboratory, and they were growing silicon chips. And he said, how in the world did we get the idea to grow silicon chips? And one of the VPs said, well, something happened in New Mexico, and it gave us ideas.
This is Colonel Corso's. The day after Roswell, he goes into the whole development of that, from reverse engineering what did happen in New Mexico in 1947. They did develop a way to do this. Linda Moulton Howe on her Earth Files website just did a two weeks of Colonel Corso and this reverse engineer. Exactly. Yep.
My dad, and it's funny, you know what my dad said, Alan? He was an NASA engineer, he was involved in all this. He was one of the guys who helped figure out how to get Apollo 13 back, okay? So I grew up in a household where, you know, outer space was, you know, our norm, that and seeing spirits was our norm. Right. And maybe that's why I'm doing a show with a psychologist now. No, but Dad, and I don't know if he was being sarcastic or not, but he always felt that Earth was a dumping ground for all the criminally insane, defective inhabitants of other planets. He said, look at us. We're violent. He says, we have this beautiful planet that we deforest. When we do invent technology, we try to immediately turn it into something to kill each other. Mm-hmm. You know, I always thought that, you know, maybe it was cynicism on his point, but it was fascinating. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, this is a schoolhouse where all of us are in different grades and we have to get along with each other and evolve our consciousness and be with these very low and high level beings and make peace with them, because everyone you see is a reflection of yourself. Really. And if you can be at peace, and I'm not saying it's easy, with everyone, look everyone in the eye and say, I have felt that. I know what that feels like, from the rich to the homeless. Then you own this human experience. And then the physical body, I think, starts to accelerate. This is what they call ascension. And so we're here to wake up to this. Lucidity is the key word.
It is
about the human race. And evolve it to more of its greater potential, you know? So I just had another question for you, Mark, and you don't have to answer it now. Have you ever gotten into the mind of an alien? So you read people, but have you read alien consciousness?
Very possibly. And the reason I say that is in several readings, when you're dealing with the other side, the afterlife frequency, which is the title of my new book coming out this October, because that's what it is. There's human intelligence is not the only source of intellect there. And there's these other beings that I euphemistically that I call angels. But I'm not being funny, but you know, they look like an Academy Award, except that they're translucent and they glow from the inside out. And I was doing a reading for somebody once and they showed up and I heard the star people, and this young man that I was doing the reading for started like getting all nervous. And I said, it was as if time itself stood still and the sky was purple that night. We start flipping out and he goes, well, that's what happened when I was abducted. And what I described, what I've generally referred to as angels, he identified as alien intelligence. So my answer to your question is, I think so.
Well, I would do an exercise. I mean, if you wanted to try one day to just tune into the beings that maybe are around me or Marcy, because I'm sure they're working with Marcy, and they helped me write this book. Do you see the little dot? Do you see the asterisk between the making and the contact? That is their language, which is abstract knowing. Right. This is how they communicate to us in symbols, ideas, and images. So it's not in the words that we use.
But we've got to continue this talk in part two, Alan. I mean, my gosh, I didn't even get to the question about whether or not God created aliens, so that'll have to be for another show.
Don't you think God created everything, whatever God happens to be? Yeah. The Big Bang?
I do, but certainly the religion I grew up with didn't. So that's another show. Listen, how do people find out about you,
but
Alan?
The Vatican does believe in aliens. So
they
anyway.
Do now.
Yes.
They do now.
The new Pope may be one.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we just touched upon so much. This is the tip of the iceberg, Mark and Pat and Marcy. There's so much more here that we can break apart. So you can find the book if you want to join the conversation next time. And we should do this soon. Go to Amazon. Or Barnes & Noble. Amazon puts me higher on the list, I guess. And there's a discount on Amazon. Mm-hmm. Making Contact, The New Realities of Extraterrestrial Existence, or The Preparation for the New Realities. Alan Steinfeld, A-L-A-N-S-T-E-I-N-F-E-L-D. And this is an education for everyone. This is a way to get into the whole field before the government starts to lie to us again and understand there's more to this issue. There's more to us as human beings, and there's definitely more to the cosmos that we have yet to explore. We are on the spaceship Enterprise, and there are new life and new civilization waiting to be known. This is the most exciting time in human history. I think this is where it's all coming down and folding and opening up to new.
Well, we've got to wrap up, but I want to say this. Thank you all to everybody here. And I just want to say one last thing, Jacob, if you don't mind, to all of your parents out there that listen to your children. And your children may have ideas that you don't agree with, and they may be highly creative, and you may think there's something wrong with them. I ask you to hit the pause button and don't do that. I ask you to listen with an open heart, care for your child, and perhaps we will all learn something. Thank you all. We'll see you next time.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for tuning into The Psychic in the Doc with Mark Anthony and me, Dr. Pat Basile, right here on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Hey, look, come back next week so we can explore with you more of life's many challenges and learn from fascinating guests. And you know what? Even Mark and me. We'll connect you and discover insights from people in this life and from the afterlife. Extraordinary problems? Yeah, they do. They require extraordinary solutions. But step into the world of possibilities with us on The Psychic and the Doc. That's every Thursday, 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on TransformationTalkRadio.com. That's TransformationTalkRadio.com. And don't forget, we're also live face-to-face on Facebook.com, Transformation Talk Radio.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.